In the introduction to this series, I mentioned that I had first learned principles related to leadership from Oswald Sanders in his excellent book on spiritual leadership and in his conference message that I happened to attend. The three principles that he set forth were sovereignty, suffering, and servanthood. I'd like to focus on the third aspect, the third principle, as we work through this series in this particular message. When you look through the Bible, you discover that the best leaders who are spiritual leaders are those who are servants. Think through the Bible with me at just several examples. I think about Moses, who is called the servant of the Lord. Moses is the man who, when God offers him to be the head of a whole new race, he declines. And he basically puts his own spiritual future on the line for the sake of the nation Israel. Moses was a servant, and Moses was called the meekest man on the face of the earth. Then think about Joseph. Joseph was a cocky young man of 17 who proudly wore the mantle of authority that his father had prepared for him. That infamous coat, which when the brothers had the chance, they tore off of him and shredded. He was a young man who did not use authority well, and he was not really the servant of his brothers. So God had a little preparation process for him over the next 13 years to prepare him to be a spiritual leader. In that process, he came to serve Potiphar and to serve him well. And then when he was falsely accused and cast into prison, you remember that he served the master of that prison. And not only that, he served the inmates that were there with him. He ministered to them, the men I call the butler and the baker. He was a servant. When he was taken from that prison and placed into power, he became the faithful servant of Pharaoh. And you remember it was under his leadership that Pharaoh prospered greatly. It was only after this that Joseph became the man who could be the leader of his family, a leader who served his family well. Joseph was a servant leader, even though it took some time to get there. Joshua was called the servant of Moses, and he became one of the great leaders of all time. Elijah and Elisha are two fellow prophets, but in those early days, Elisha was a servant, I believe, to Elijah. Then think about the disciples. The disciples were all about being a part of Jesus' kingdom. And all they could think about was the positions of authority that they would have. And Jesus said to them, spiritual leadership is not like leadership among the Gentiles. Spiritual leadership is being a servant. Spiritual leadership is putting yourself at the bottom of the heap, not striving to be at the top. Jesus said that that was to follow his example, for he had come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you think about it, the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ at the outset of his ministry was really about servanthood. Would Jesus act independently and autonomously for his own sake, as Satan proposed? Or would he faithfully serve the Father by doing his will? We know the outcome of this, for Jesus is the great servant, the suffering servant, whose service brought about the possibility of the redemption of men's sins. Then think about the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who was a great servant. Interestingly, he speaks of himself as that way, in that way, and in fact, he speaks of himself as a slave. When Paul speaks of his associates, he never speaks of them in terms that regard them as subordinates. He always speaks of them as his fellow laborers. Paul was a true servant, and you remember it was he who spoke much about servanthood as well. When Paul contrasted his leadership and genuine spiritual leadership with that of false leaders, false teachers, and false prophets, he said that the false prophets were those who harshly ran roughshod over the people that they led. They slapped them in the face, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And unfortunately, the Corinthians seemed to love it. Paul, on the other hand, was looked down upon because of his servant spirit. Think about Paul as he speaks with regard to the leaders in the church at Corinth. That was a place where men were striving to be at the top of the heap. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he speaks about a man who he commends as a leader, a man named Stephanas. And what commended Stephanas as a leader in that church was the fact that he served the church well. Servant leaders are the leaders that we see in the New Testament. When you come to the book of 1 Timothy and Paul speaking about the qualification of elders, he says, if a man desires the office of overseer, he desires a good work. What Paul is saying is being a leader is not a matter of having an office. It is a matter of having a platform for service. Leaders who are spiritual leaders are servant leaders. I think that applies to the relationship between elders and deacons. At least that is the way we do it in our church. Deacons are not a separate board who have their own separate territory. They are rather men who serve under the elders and assist the elders in doing the work of ministry and shepherding the sheep. That's why the qualifications for deacon are so similar to the qualifications for elder. And you notice that when Paul speaks about deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, let them first be tested. What do you think that test would look like? I would propose to you that one of the tests would be the test of servanthood. Are these men who truly serve, or are they men who simply seek to lead? There are some words of caution that I should offer you. Servant leaders are going to look different from the kind of person that is often recognized and regarded as a leader in the secular world. Jesus made it clear, Christian leadership and spiritual leadership are very different. Servant leaders may not be of that personality type that is dominant, assertive, and aggressive. They may rather be those who do not appear to have those aggressive tendencies, and in fact, that may be a very, very good thing. In my years of experience, I've seen a number of young women who have been interested in finding the right husband, and over again, I have heard them say, this man is a spiritual leader. The sad part of it is that in many of those cases, he was simply authoritarian, not really a servant leader. So what I'm saying to you is, some of those men that God may raise up as leaders may not look like leaders in the secular sense, but we need to evaluate them by the biblical standard. So personality type is not the basis. I would say one more thing regarding leadership training programs. Many programs are being carried out in the church that in essence say to young men, or to older men, if you go through our leadership training process, the end result is that you will be a leader. I don't think that's the way the Scriptures views it. I think the way the Scripture views it is that the training process through which God puts all of us is a process which is aimed at having us end up servants at the end of the process. Some of those servants may indeed be raised up by God as leaders. Some may not, but the goal is servanthood nonetheless. What the church desperately needs today is leaders who are servants. And the kind of men and the programs that we use to develop leaders are programs that need to focus on servanthood.